Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me today. Always a pleasure for me to be able to spend some time with you. Don't forget my website is www.jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com if you like to type. There's the long one. And the short one is jbsba.com. Then if you just forget everything else except my name, jimblasingame.com. And don't, when you're spelling my name, it's just like it sounds. No extra funny letters in there. Just Blasingame, B-L-A-S-I-N-G. A-M-E, JimBlasingame.com. And when you get there, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week by email. Comes on Sunday afternoon, and a lot of people have told me how much they appreciate getting it that time of day, that time of the week, because it kind of gets them motivated and revved up a little bit for the days ahead. And also remember that it's easy to subscribe. All you have to do is give us your email address. You can give us the other information on the form there if you want to. We especially need your email address. It's the only way we can send it to you. And also, I want to point out that one of the things that we have done here with our letter, we've always complied. By the way, before I go any further, Cherie Carter Scott is on her way. We're going to get her on the show in just a few minutes. But I wanted to continue to talk about this thing we were talking about with Christina Cavanaugh just a minute ago on the email. One of the things, the email marketing aspect of our businesses, we've got to comply with best practices to make sure that we don't appear to be spammers, to make sure that we fit into the good guys role, the good guys profile of the of people who are using email for marketing purposes. And so we've always done the best we could here with our practices, but now some of those practices are actually prescribed by law. Some of the things that have to be done now. And see, this is a very interesting thing. This is one of the interesting things about the law. We've all said, why don't they do something about spam? Why doesn't the government do something about spam? You know, I wish the government would pass a law to ban spam, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, guess what? They did. But and it went into effect January 1st. And you'll probably notice that you're still getting spam. So what we predicted on the show, me and our experts on this topic on technology public policy predicted, has happened. And that is that all that has happened is that it has identified some steps that email marketers are supposed to take, including me and you and the spammers, the people that we don't like. But here's what's happened. Here's the difference. You and I are conforming to those laws. My organization has always done basically everything that the new law required. But we got a little bit more sophisticated with the new law just to make sure that we dotted all the I's and dotted all the T's. It cost me some money. It cost us some extra work. It involved some extra vendors and to make sure that this happened. So you're now talking to a guy who's fully in compliance with the new law. But guess what? I was never the problem. You were probably never the problem. The spammers are the problem. That's who they went after with this law. But guess what? None of them are doing what they're supposed to do. Why are they not doing it? I don't know. I don't know how you can be a spammer and do what the new law requires, because it is designed to eliminate spam. But a lot of the spam doesn't come from the United States. It comes from other parts of the world. And so that's one of the problems that we have whenever we're demanding that the government do something in this day and time, passing a law with the technology the way it is and with the Internet, the World Wide Web being a global utility. passing a regional law like a law in the state in the United States is not necessarily going to solve the problem, and there's an excellent chance that it could just create problems for the good guys. And that it's yet to be seen if this new canned spam law is going to do anything to eliminate spam. So far it hasn't. And what it may wind up doing is just put extra obligation on the good guys. So let's all, we have to be careful what we wish for. And but maybe, you know, over the next few months, maybe if enough spammers in the United States get arrested, maybe something will improve. When we come back, Sheree Carter-Scott is here. She's going to be with us on the other side of these messages. She's just returned from a trip to Southeast Asia. And I've asked her to give us a report on what she found there, how she found the entrepreneurs in Vietnam and Cambodia and Thailand. She's going to give us that report right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us.
When you're down and troubled, and you need a helping hand.
We're back at 17 till.
And nothing.
I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And ladies and gentlemen, when I'm down in trouble and I need a helping hand, I call a friend. And oftentimes that friend is our guest this half hour, Sheree Carter-Scott. She's one of the coolest ladies that I know, one of the smartest people that I know. She's just a real inspiration to me. I often call her a Wonder Woman. And she's the author of a number of best-selling books, including one that is very, very famous. If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. Ladies and gentlemen, all those rules that you saw circumnavigating the globe for 20-something years, she wrote those, and we didn't know it for a long, long time. And she finally came out of the closet and said, I did it. She wrote a book, and she's written a lot of other books, including If Success is a Game, These Are the Rules. She is an outstanding management consultant, helping people to companies put their best foot forward all around the world. She's our good friend. Sheree Carter-Scott, welcome back.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you back, Wonder Woman.
Thank you.
You just got back from Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand.
That's correct. We were there for 27 days.
27 days?
Yes.
Wow.
We took our holidays. I met with our publisher in Bangkok. We met with the retreat center up in Chiang Mai about doing some work up there. A little bit of business, a lot of pleasure, a lot of opportunities to be able to see the culture and to experience how people live and how they work.
How did you find things there?
Well, I had an experience that really hit me between the eyes. You have the smells and the architecture and the people and the pace of life and things. There's a lot of entrepreneurship going on, first of all. Everywhere you look, people are looking for a way to make a dollar, you know, and how to be able to capitalize on that. They worked at least 10 hours a day, sometimes more, and they work joyfully. They work in a happy way. There's a happiness about them wanting to work and wanting to make money.
Now, did you find this in all three countries?
Well, Cambodia is really sad and poor and still very, very depressed from the Khmer Rouge and that whole Pol Pot regime, which I, you know, was knee-deep immersed in history, reading everything I could get my hands on to fill in those gaps in my historical background. So Cambodia, no. But I found Vietnam and Thailand to be that way, especially Thailand, which is really exciting and thriving. I mean, people, there's not a no. I mean, if they close their doors at midnight and you go up there and you say, you know, I'd really like to have a manicure, is it possible? And they'll say, yes, for you, we'll stay open. You know, you go to a tailor and you say, you know, I'd really like to have a suit made and I'm leaving in about 6 hours. Okay, fine. You know, I mean,
did you feel that it was that way, that was their general attitude, or because you were an American?
No.
And because they might have done it because you're so beautiful, though, Sheree. You know, you have to put that factor in there, too.
You're too cute. No, I really think it was because they really like making money. They know they can make money, and they just like stretching themselves and going for it.
Well, they're excited about the possibilities, aren't they? I mean, this is new for them. Entrepreneurialism in that region, especially Vietnam and Cambodia, is new for them. Not so much Thailand, but in Vietnam and Cambodia, this is a new thing for them.
It's very exciting. It's amazingly exciting. And the other thing that hit me right between the eyes, and this was big, I'm going along kind of like a tourist, enjoying life and experiencing it and sightseeing, et cetera, et cetera. And on Christmas Eve, we were in Ho Chi Minh City, which used to be Saigon in Vietnam, that we were told to be there because it was one of the most exciting times to be there. And so we were there, and everyone in the world, they can't afford a lot of cars there, so that everybody has a motorcycle or a scooter of some sort. Over a million of them turn out on Christmas Eve, and the entire street is packed bumper to bumper to bumper with millions and millions and millions of motorcycles and scooters. We were in these little, they call them C-clothes, which are like petty bikes. You know, it's a bike with a chair on the front of it. And so the three of us, my sister, husband, and I were all on these little petty bikes. And we're in the middle of millions and millions and millions of Asians, and we're the only Caucasians. and there are more people than I've ever seen on a street in my life, ever.
Did you feel safe?
I felt so without fear and so safe, it astounded me. That's what I was astounded about.
Yeah.
And what I started realizing is how much of my life is spent in fear on a subtle, subconscious level. Fear somebody's going to take my wallet.
Right.
Fear that I'm going to lose something. Fear that something dreadful is going to happen. I mean, just kind of a low unconscious level of fear. It was not present in Southeast Asia.
What about the cost of living over there? I know that you that was something you remarked to me about. How is that over there?
Well, first of all, people love to haggle. I mean, it's part of the game.
Yeah.
And so if somebody, you say, how much is this? They'll definitely quote you a price that's maybe 40 to 60% higher than what the thing will cost you eventually. And you're not supposed to take it at face value. I mean,
it is salt, isn't it? There's no fun.
Yeah. You're not supposed to, okay, here you go. Here's the money.
They'll have you arrested if you do that.
They really want you to come back and say, that's too much. I won't pay that. Or, that's ridiculous. Okay, what'd you give me?
You know, Cherie, you probably believe this when I tell you this. I've done that at McDonald's before. And you know what? It worked. I actually negotiated a better deal on a hamburger at McDonald's once, believe it or not. Stand by. Ten Tales. We'll be right back with our good friend Cherie Carter-Scott. Wonder Woman, Cherie Carter-Scott. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Cherie Carter-Scott is our guest and our good friend. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm having trouble seeing my notes here because all of the books that she's written are in my way. I've got this like 3-foot high stack of books. The Corporate Negaholic, Negaholics, If Love is a Game, These Are the Rules, The Gift of Motherhood, on and on and on. And of course, the flagship, If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. Cherie, your books are available wherever books are sold, right?
They should be. If they aren't, they can get a hold of my website, which is Dr. Cherie at drcherie.com.
Yeah, Dr. I didn't think I was going to have to help you out there. Drcherie.com. That's C-H-E-R-I-E, ladies and gentlemen. You've got a lot of other things there on your website, too, besides the books, right?
Well, we have our new international conference coming up, which is going to be very exciting.
Where is that going to be?
After 30 years as an entrepreneur in the United States of America doing business in countries like Netherlands and Singapore and a few other places, we've had such outstanding demand from people saying, I want to teach your courses. I want to do that.
Right.
We're going to do that from May 10 to 13 in Santa Barbara, California.
May the 10th through 13th. All right. Well, we're going to be telling you people more about that as we move in towards that date. But that's very exciting. You got folks going to be coming from all over the world?
All over the world, coming to learn about it and to be able to be licensed to teach our courses where they live.
Wow, that's really exciting. And I'm very, and folks, this is something I've been able to see germinate in Cherie's mind over the last few years. And Cherie, I'm so proud of you. It's so exciting to watch entrepreneurs, which of which you certainly are a world-class entrepreneur, literally. It's so exciting to see people have this little seed of an idea, and they plant it in the ground, and they water it, and they cultivate it, and they talk about it, and they nurture it, and finally it becomes a real product. And then somebody says, hey, I want to buy that. And the next thing you know, we got some success going on. And I'll tell you, Cherie, I see this all the time, and it's the thing that makes me wake up in the morning happy and wanting to go to work, because I get to see things like that. And I want to congratulate
you. Thank you, sweetie. It's thrilling. It is really, really exciting
but,
to be able to empower people, and that's what you do every day.
But look at how much work goes into what you're talking about, folks. I mean, this is a 30-year, as she said, this is a 30-year, I won't say the culmination because that sounds like the end, but this is the product of 30 years of hard work. Cherie started when she was only 5, and so it really is a beautiful thing to see, and of course, I know that translated well when you went to Southeast Asia.
Well, it's exciting because they're saying, you know, what can we do to help? How can we support you? What can we make happen? I mean, the Bangkok people, first of all, the publisher and the agent, they took us to lunch and, you know, do you have more books coming out? They love your books in Asia.
Uh-huh.
We want them. I'm in the airport in Krabi, Thailand, which is this little place on the beach, and there are my books
in
the airport bookstore.
I'm not the least bit surprised.
Oh, it was amazing.
Good for you.
Well,
how did you, of course, you picked it up and read it immediately, right?
Well, it was wrapped in shrink wrap paper.
But what language was it in, though?
Well, it was in English.
Oh, it was? Okay. What is the language over there?
Thai.
It's all in Thai. And of course, how readily do they conduct business in English?
Pretty readily.
Do they?
Pretty readily, yeah, because they don't expect the rest of the world to learn Thai.
English has become the international language of
commerce,
it is. Isn't it?
No question.
And you know, I do think, Cherie, and I know you do this, you feel this way too, I do feel, though, that Americans don't need to see that as vindication of our excellent language, but as just something that we lucked into, and we need to not be ugly Americans when we go to these countries. We need to try to give them a little bit of deference to their language and learn something in their language, if nothing else, just to say good morning to them in their own languages.
I learned 5 words of Thai.
Yeah.
Yeah, Savadika.
What does that mean?
It means good morning, good day, hello.
I was afraid you were going to say it means where's the bathroom. But, you know, Cherie, I went to Sweden last year, and I didn't learn any Swedish. You know why? They wouldn't speak it to me. They wanted to speak English.
Yeah, of course.
I promise you, it was crazy. I always like to learn a new language or, you know, some words whenever I travel.
Well,
but they
refuse
to speak.
Hmm? Well, hey do is good morning in Swedish.
Yeah, yeah.
And goodbye, and tak is thank you.
Yeah.
I mean,
they wouldn't say that because they liked English. And that's the way it's becoming. But Americans have an obligation, I think, Cherie.
I think so, too.
We're
linguistically challenged.
We're linguistically retarded, I think is the better word. Hey, thank you very much, Cherie, for being here. Good job. Welcome back to the United States, and we're looking forward to our next visit. And we're looking forward to telling people about this coming May and that project, too.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Cherie,
for having me, Jim.
Cherie Carter-Scott, ladies and gentlemen, we could not do without her. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.